chapter 5. And just a reminder for those who may have children with us, there are bags in the back underneath the clock back there to help occupy them, help to maintain their attention in different ways. There's also the simulcast rooms in the back, the nursery room and the adjacent room, if as a family anyone would like to use those. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the second half of verse 18. If you would stand with me as we read God's word once again. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You may be seated. I want to remind us of the conclusion that I have come to, that I shared last week, and that is that the reality of our struggles in marriage, whether submission or love, whether husband or wife, is less a struggle with the marriage partner and more a struggle with Jesus Christ. And if we can kind of ingrain that in our minds, when we come to the conflict in relationship, which is inevitable, right? Conflict in the relationship is going to happen, but we need to change our focus and actually begin to ask ourselves, not so much what's wrong with my spouse, or even, well, you could ask what's wrong with you, but of primacy, what's wrong with my relationship with Christ? What is going on in this relationship here that is causing the rift here? Last week we talked about wives and we talked about submission and respect. We talked about the bringing out the reality that submission really means a partnership. It's the bringing the partnership to fruition. I think in second service I clarified a little bit better in that, because in Genesis we see this vying for authority, vying for rulership, if you would, in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall. And submission brings that back around to say no longer be vying for that, but be working in partnership together. Submission and respect. And this week we look at the husband's role. And the husband's role really can be summed up in the one word. And that word is love. Husbands, love your wives. And as we look at this marriage picture and the role of the husband, it's simply that. But isn't it interesting that for the husband, when we take one word, we have to spend a whole sermon on it. Versus the wives, we use submit and respect to spend a whole service on it. And so I'm not sure what that says about us men, other than we need more explanation, perhaps. But when we get into this idea of husbands, love your wives, oftentimes we get stuck in verse 23. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. The really interesting thing here is, if you notice, there's not actually an instruction. There's not an instruction. It doesn't say, husbands, be the head of your house. There's not an instruction. It's more of a descriptive or an illustration, again, that is comparative to Christ and the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and himself, its Savior. And we could spend probably a whole sermon on this concept of headship, and we're not going to. But in this concept of headship, we need to realize in the context of the passage, look at it just as Christ as the head of the church's body and is himself its what? Its Savior. And see, oftentimes when we jump to headship, we start thinking about authority and control and ruling the roost, right? And Christ says the most efficient picture of headship is to equate, and this is through Paul's words of Christ, but is to equate headship with the saviorhood of Jesus. In other words, headship most beneficially exemplified is in sacrifice. And how often we get that spun around and mixed up. And as a result, we have some misconstrued concepts. Jesus emptied himself in becoming flesh. He then lays it all down in becoming the church's Savior. And the reality, that is how we are to love our wife. So as last week, I forgot to put the notes on the computer. They're in my Dropbox account. Well, if you really, really, really want the notes, come back for second service. Otherwise, you're just going to have to follow along. In a similar fashion as last week, I wanted to talk about the characteristics of love that are very real and present. And the first characteristic is really the same characteristic that we talked about last week, and that is that we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot truly love my wife if I do not walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. I can try at loving. I can pretend to love. But what is going to happen is it's going to become primarily an emotional interaction between my wife and I. And that is not love. Emotions are involved, but emotions are not the end all be all. And so we're not going to talk about it. We've been talking about it for weeks and even months, the whole focus here. But it's an essential reminder that to truly love one's wife, a husband must be in active relationship with Jesus Christ. The second characteristic of love for the husband is that it has to be sacrificial. Love is intended to be sacrificial. To really be love, it must be willing to give itself up. It must be willing to give itself up. John chapter 15, verse 13. We won't go there, but it says, greater love has no one than this. That what? He lays down his life for his friends. Our wife should be our best friend. And so it should be the first person that we are willing to lay our life down for. However, for too many of us as men, this is where we're stuck. And you go, well, no, I'm not stuck there. Because, see, if somebody was, you know, the wonderful analogy, if somebody was pointing a gun at my wife, I'd jump in front of it. Yeah, but see, that's the problem. That's where we're stuck. We'll jump in front of the bullet, but we won't sacrifice any other aspect of our life for our wife. And when we talk about sacrificial love, Jesus says it's that we would lay down our lives. See, our attitude is that if we have to do something else for our wife, then forget it. And yet true love, sacrificial love, means that we're willing to lay down our whole being. Now, if we look at the passage, we recognize that there's this physical component. Sacrifice is giving up of ourselves, our body. If you look at verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And as we go down in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. And so we make this physical connection, but it's not just a physical connection. It's not just giving up our physical existence, but it's all of ourself for her. And as such, then, love is unconditional. It's really a sub point to sacrifice. So if you're taking the notes, it's unconditional. What was submission for a wife? It was unconditional. Love for the husband towards the wife is intended to be unconditional. We like to play this game, right? If things are going well, then it's certainly much easier for me to love my wife, and therefore I love my wife. But nowhere in this passage does it give conditions about how the wife is acting or responding to state whether we are to love or not. It simply says, husbands, love your wives. So when she is being the most unruly, obnoxious, disorganized or whatever type of person that irritates you, we are still called husbands to love our wife. Our love for our wife should, this is a dangerous one, but in essence, our love for our wife should kill us. It should kill us. It should kill our selfish natures. It's a painful process for the two to become one, but it is a right and it is a good process for the two to become one. And in order for two to become one, we each have to die. We each have to die to ourselves. See, our love is to be expressed when we're infatuated with her and when we can't stand her. Our love is to be expressed when we are full of energy, and it's to be expressed when we come walking through the door completely exhausted. Our love is to be expressed when we are full of happiness and we are just outright angry at something that has happened. Our love, like that of Jesus, is to be unending. It is to be sacrificial. It is to be unconditional. Which is why the only way that we can truly love our wife, men, the only way that we can truly love our wife is if we are walking in relationship with Jesus Christ, so that we are first experiencing the love of Christ and then being conduits, allowing that love to flow out. If at any point in our life we try to love our wife on our own, we will fall. We will fail, and we will do it over and over and over again. And some of us this morning sit here and we recognize, we go, man, I want to love my wife, but I can't. I try. And that's the problem, is we try and we try and we try. And we need to simply be in relationship with Jesus Christ, walking in the vibrancy of that relationship, allowing the love of God to flow through us and into that relationship. So love is supposed to be sacrificial. It's supposed to be sanctifying. So if you want another point for your notes, it is supposed to be sanctifying. Verse 25 again, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. It is a love that understands the purpose of marriage. It is a love that understands why man and woman come together and to become one. It is to aid in the purification process of your wife and ultimately the bride, the church. In order to be sanctifying, it has to be sacrificial. There is no other way to it. But the marriage relationship is about her good. Men, the marriage relationship is about her good. It's about her becoming this radiant image of the glory of God. And believe it or not, God has placed us in the relationship because we have a role to play. And I know for many of us it doesn't, but the reality is that should get us excited. We have the opportunity to partner with the living God to bring about a pure, spotless, unblemished bride in relationship. It's about gently leading our wife into deeper love for Jesus, which is greater than her love for us. And this is where it gets difficult, because men, if we're honest, we easily get jealous. Don't we? We easily get jealous. And the reality is, our calling is to lead our spouse into a relationship where her love for Jesus exceeds her love for the husband. It is a love which places her spiritual journey as priority in the relationship. So it's initiated with relationship with Jesus Christ. It's sacrificial. It's sanctifying. And here's a difficult one for us, because we have this misconstrued. And that is, it is a self-love love. You're kind of spinning right now going, what? A self-love love. Again, while Paul makes it a physical self-love, it seems to be much broader. Look at 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Verse 33. However, let each one of you, that is, let each husband love his wife as himself. And certainly we can make a claim for the way in which we care for our body is the same way in which we should care for our wife. And don't look around at the moment, but there are some of us who don't care for our bodies well enough, which explains why we don't care for our wife. Are we tracking that? There are some of us men that don't even care for ourselves, which is why we struggle loving our spouse. See, this is not a positive thing that is observed in our culture. If you begin to talk about, in our culture, self-love, what are the words that come out? Egotism. Conceit. Pride. Arrogance. Vanity. These are all the words that come out in society when we talk about self-love, and yet it is a positive thing as God refers to it. Self-love is not selfishness. Self-love is a recognition that I am an image bearer of the Most High. It acknowledges a desire to bear that image with greater dignity, being conscientious that I am an image bearer of the Most High. It means I discipline myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It means that I don't just let myself go to waste, letting nature take its course in any subject. It means that I sacrificially invest in the person God has crafted me to become. Remember, Ephesians 5 is not written out of context of the entire book. And what does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? For we are his workmanship. We are God's divine masterpiece. And far too often we forget that we are God's divine masterpiece. And as a result, we just kind of let whatever happen, happen, rather than being a partner with God to allow the image of God to glow more freely in our relationship with God. So far too few of us recognize ourself as a divine masterpiece. And then far too many of us who actually recognize it, we downplay it because we haven't learned yet how to love ourselves. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, the great commandment, right? Love God with everything, right? And he turns right around and he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you've heard me talk about maybe part of our struggle in loving our neighbors and in reaching a lost and a dying world for Jesus Christ is that we've never learned to love ourselves. And I know this is a struggle for us because we don't talk much about it. But by the way, do we realize that that commandment isn't new? So the first half of the great commandment, right? Love God with everything comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? The Shema. Part of the Shema, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is... There's unity for you, right, Ray? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? Do you realize that in the Old Testament, we go through all of this law? All of this law, and a lot of that law is summed up in Leviticus chapter 19, where it says clearly, love your neighbor as yourself. I know far too many men and women who refuse to address their past and present issues in life, chalking it up to just, that's how I am, rather than loving themselves enough to attempt to deal with the issues that are in their life. Maybe part of the struggle in our marriages is that men still haven't come to an understanding of what it means to love oneself. And that again, is a whole sermon, a whole series of sermons in itself, and we're not going to spend time on it. But there are three components to self-love that apply directly to marriage that we can pull out of passages dealing with marriage. And so under self-love, if you're taking your notes, and again, I'll have this up for second service, so if you want to come back, you can get them. What takes place under self-love, number one, is understanding. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. The first component of self-love when it comes to this marriage relationship is understanding. And by the way, this passage, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 in particular, is significantly misleading in the majority, if not all, of our English translations. Just to break it down really quick for us. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives. How do I keep this G? That verse has almost nothing to do with living with your wife as we think about just, you know, coexisting. It has everything to do with the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. In other words, it says, develop intimacy with your wife in an understanding fashion. Takes on a little different understanding, doesn't it? Weaker vessel, if you look at it, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And we can debate this later. This is just my studies and my opinion of it at this point in time. Weaker vessel is in correlation with a wife, not with women in general. The whole passage is about husbands and wives. And so that same word, it's a comparison statement. It is not a definitive statement. And then we fail to correlate. Ladies, this should perk up your ears. You should be really happy with this. We fail to correlate the concept of weaker vessel with Paul's reminder in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, which says, God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. As a result, we end up using this to mislead and to abuse. But let's just get back to the case at hand, because we do have connections with it. Am I wrong in assuming that there's an innate desire within men to be understood? Yes, I'm wrong, or yes, you agree? We agree. There's an innate desire within men. I mean, that's why sometimes we get animated and we're trying to get our point across. Sometimes it comes into an argument that we're trying to win, but other times it's just, I need you to understand me. Right? That's why we have all these books, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and all this kind of stuff, right? Trying to understand the communication. Because we desire to be understood. We long to speak and have others understand what we're saying. And so, we get frustrated, men, when our wives are not understanding what we're trying to get across. I get frustrated, church, when as a guy I'm trying to get some point across in a sermon and I can just see you're not getting it. We desire to be understood in the process of our life. And in the same way that we long to be understood, the self-love component of longing to be understood turns around and it says, love your wife in such a way that you strive to understand her. There's a challenge for most of us as men. Because honestly, most of us are too busy trying to make our wife understand us. And yet what Paul said, what Peter says in this passage very clearly, what Paul, I believe, is saying in the passage as well, is when he calls us to love ourselves, it says, do the things that are just natural to you. If men have an innate desire to be understood, then we need to turn that around. And in order to love our wife, we need to strive to understand her. Love her to the point that you strive for understanding. Don't just sit there and shrug your shoulders. Or blow her off, or ignore her, or pretend that you understand. Strive to understand. By the way, this is going to require a really key tool in the arsenal of marriage skills, and that's called communication. And confession, because it might have to simply be, I know this is like the 25th time, but I'm still not getting it. Help me out. Seek understanding of your wife. Another aspect of self-love, which we see in this passage, second part, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. We are to show honor. I don't know. Raise your hand if you're a man in here that does not desire honor. I think it's fair to say all men desire honor, yes? We desire to be recognized for the value of who we are. We talk about being honorable men, hopefully. Men want others, particularly we want our wives, to recognize the value that exists within us. And in the same fashion, husbands are called to give their wife the same honor they enjoy having. The word order in the Greek text is more connected with this reminder. If you look at verse 7, the word order in Greek actually says better, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So though we've discussed way back when the simple value because they bear the image of God, now Peter compounds it and says, you need to be honoring your spouse. You need to be loving her in such a way that she feels honored, particularly if she is a follower of Jesus Christ because she's an equal heir of the grace. One more component to the self-love thing. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is the parallel passage to Ephesians. Verses 18 and 19, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Again, the Greek here actually says, do not be embittered against them. The instruction is for husbands to not become embittered against the wives. Why, husbands, would we become embittered? Well, maybe it ties into the reality that we already know we are supposed to be loving sacrificially, that we are supposed to be giving up ourselves for the sake of our wife. And so we become embittered at the thought that I'm supposed to give myself up for you. Paul says, love your wife and do not be harsh with them. Reasons for loving. We're going to blow through this pretty quick. Number one, same thing as wives submitting and respecting their husbands. It is an illustration for everybody around us to see what is intended to be in the relationship between Christ and the church. Men, we are not the savior of our wife, but we are to exemplify the role that the Savior showed us. We are to be showing not only our wife and our children and our immediate family and those around us close by, the neighbors that hear us yelling and screaming and all that kind of, not just them, we are to be showing the whole world, whoever interacts with us, what it looks like for Christ to love His church, which is this sacrificial, unconditional, sanctifying self-love. To be laying it down. So that when the world looks at the relationship of a husband and wife, the husband continuously is saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And the wife in submission is coming alongside of, and instead of trying to usurp authority, is saying, I want to partner with you on this journey, so what can I do for you? The arguments in our house shouldn't be so much who's head of the house and who's doing what and how's it going. It's in the end of the conversation because we're constantly asking, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? When are we going to actually do something? That should be the issue in the home. Because it illustrates the relationship of Christ toward the church and His love for her. Secondly, the reason for husbands to be loving their wives is the very nature of love itself, and that is we are to love our wives for sanctification. The very love with which we are to offer our wife is also transformative to us. It changes us. Because we see the sanctifying work, the purification, the divine masterpiece of our wife who begins to radiate the glory of God more and more. And we see that reflection and we ourselves are then transformed in the process. The third reason that I want to provide for us this morning is back in 1 Peter chapter 3. The very end of that verse, it says, you know, live with your wives in an understanding way. It says, honor our wives since they are heirs of the grace of life, so that. And this so that is huge. So that your prayers may not be hindered. The third reason for us to love our wives is so that we might have true, unhampered audience with the God of the universe. Husbands, I would encourage you to take time, maybe this afternoon, maybe some other time, and do a little assessment. Look over the past week, maybe month, maybe year, maybe you have to look back longer, and begin asking yourselves, what are the prayer requests that I've offered to God that I just feel He hasn't answered? And then in that same frame of mind, begin to look back and say, how have I loved or not loved my wife during that time? Peter makes a very, very, very direct correlation between the way that we relate with our wife, that is through love, and the ability for God to hear our prayers. And it's something that we have so often belittled or not even considered in the course of our life, because God says that if you look at the model of Christ and the church, Christ so sacrificially, so unconditionally loved the church and loves the church, that anything Christ asks for, what happens? He gets. And husbands, maybe part of our struggle in our relationship with God is the very fact that we're just not loving our wife. And so we're struggling with why our relationship with God isn't going further. We're struggling with why it seems like our prayers hit this concrete ceiling and bounce back to us. And maybe the very reason is this concept of not knowing how, or just choosing not to love our wife. Husbands, a few observations. The manner in which you love your wife reflects your relationship with Jesus Christ. The manner in which you love your wife reflects your relationship with Jesus Christ. Sound familiar? Husbands, the manner in which you treat others publicly reflects how you treat your wife privately. Husbands, the manner in which you treat others and love your wife reflects how well you love yourself biblically. I can look at most relationships, and I can begin to identify, not because I'm some like great wise person, actually I'm pretty pathetic. Discernment is not my spiritual gifting. It's a responsibility of mine, but it's not a spiritual gifting of mine. But I can look around, and I have just begun to more easily tell in the course of a relationship which spouse loves themselves more based on how they treat their spouse and how they treat other people. Husbands, how well you love yourself reflects your relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, we are not talking about pride and conceit and arrogance and all of that kind of stuff. We are talking about a biblical understanding of self-love. Let me try to give you one really quick concept with that. Biblical self-love says that while I'm my own person and while I might have the ability to choose and make decisions and stuff like that, I recognize the importance of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and so I love myself enough to discipline myself enough to pursue Jesus Christ. Which is kind of far-fetched for a lot of us as husbands, because a lot of us as husbands have done the, well, yeah, I follow Jesus, but the evidence of it is not present in our lives. We long for the rightful headship within our households, and yet we don't love ourselves enough to love Jesus to really be the head of our house. Father, I will be the first to confess that I need help loving. It's a lot more pleasurable, it's a lot more desirable, God, to do my own thing, my way, And yet, God, I know that you've called me to not just love my spouse, which is first and foremost. And God, help me to come to this greater realization that if I can't love my spouse, I can't even love other people. I can put on a great show. I can put all the masks on, but I can't really love other people. If I can't love my wife, and I can't love my wife unless I've begun to understand your love for me. And I begin to love you more fully. Father, as I prayed last week, I desire to see healthy marriages in our body. Marriages which demonstrate the power of life transformation in relationships between husband and wife. And Father, I pray for our single women who are part of this body of Christ, and I pray that you would help them to have eyes which see beyond the surface level of things, and they can see the depths of a man's love. Father, that their hearts would long for a man who is first of all passionately in love with you, but that is exemplified in his love towards other people. And God, I pray for protection around our young ladies as they seek godly men who love in godly ways. And Father, I pray for our young men in this room who are not committed in that marital relationship in any way, shape, or form. And I pray that you would just give them such a deep hunger and thirst to love you first. And as they relate to people, and particularly the females, that your love in them would shine through. God, we can't do any of this apart from your help. So we beg you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just want to close this morning with a song that